20. Now remember, this morning we had Naaman, and he got healed, and Elisha would not take any dowry from his hands for it, and instead Elisha took two cartfuls of dirt and left. That's where we left him. But there was another man there, more than another, several with Naaman. And also, another man, the one who came out and blessed Naaman. And that man's name is Gehazi. Gehazi is Elisha's servant, living with him. Listen to his story beginning in verse 20 of 2 Kings chapter 5. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha the man of God, said, "Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from his chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him, and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags, and with 2 changes of garments, and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in, and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? Gehazi. And he said, Thy servant went no whither, or nowhere. And he said unto them, Went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, and to receive garments, and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper, his wife. Father, sometimes we pick your word and use it for our own good, our own purposes rather than your divine will. Show us then how in error we would be to do that, and how we might even be doing that with our lives now, that we might indeed receive the full blessing through Christ. Is it about the fact that Gehazi lied, or is it another reason that Elisha is so upset? I think that's part of it, but there's another reason. You see, in this story, there are a couple of things, 3 to be exact, that Gehazi did that Elisha was not pleased with. Now, I want this to stand separately from the story of Naaman, yet at the same time to be connected to it. Because what has happened is Naaman has gotten healed completely. Elisha took nothing for it, rather increased the blessing with the loads of dirt. Yet Naaman tried to urge Elisha to take all these goods he had brought for his healing from the king that ended up with Elisha. He ended up leaving with his goods. Elisha would not take them. And there's a reason. It is because if he took those goods, he's indebted to him. And he would come back to him, and he would come back again and again for dowry to heal. But God does not heal for what we can give him. Hear that. God does not bargain with us for the healing. He heals us because he loves us. He blesses us because he loves us. Not so we can bargain with him and think that we've evened out the deal. Jesse sees an advantage here. That this man would not be any the wiser if he had a little bit of the spoil. If he had a nice story, wouldn't be a problem. I'm sure he'd be glad to do it because he's so happy being healed. And so he says to himself, I'll run after him and I'll get some of what he has. And he's upset because Naaman has not given anything to Elisha, and Elisha could have received a bunch. And he looks at his surroundings and his abode and he says, we needed that. We could have used that. I could have used that. Whether Elisha could have or couldn't have, I could. I like those clothes. Those were nice clothes. Or something like this is going through his head. So he goes after Naaman. He sees Naaman, and Naaman sees him, and Naaman steps down to greet him. Little different story than before. Now Naaman is happy to see this man from God, the messenger from Elisha. Remember, that's how the story of Naaman happened is when he first went. This guy came out and told Naaman what to do. This time Naaman comes down, he's glad to see him. He's not mad to see the messenger before he was. It's a good thing in Naaman's mind that this man has come. Ah, Elisha has word. I will listen. What does he need? What if everything's okay? He's concerned. He comes and he says, Gehazi, is everything okay? Is all well with your master? Is all well in the house? And Gehazi says, first of all, the truth. Everything is okay. We're doing fine. I have no message, really. Everything is okay. But then he lies and says, my master sent me, saying, behold, even now there comes from Mount of Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. And he says, give them, I pray, a talent of silver and two changes of dollars. So in other words, he's trying to tell Naaman that the prophets sons or other prophets' sons are coming to visit. And these are men of holy men. And they want to bless them. And he says, give me a talent of silver and two changes of clothes for them. And that's it. That's the message. Well, Naaman is no fool. I must tell you this. Naaman is no fool. He knows this is a bogus message. It is not a message from Elisha. Why do I say that? If the God of the ages can heal him, what does he have need of Naaman's good? And all of a sudden, God changes his mind. Not so. But Naaman is overjoyed and glad to help out. And he says, well, you know, I let this man go along with his idea of what he wants to do with plunder. And he says, okay, be happy. He tells him to be happy. And instead of one talent, take two. And two changes of garments. And they went on ahead to Elisha's. And they came to Elisha's and put all the goods inside the house and told the servants of Naaman, be gone. I'm done. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And he goes into the house and stands before Elisha. And Elisha says this, Gehazi, Gehazi, where did you just come from? Two choices, truth or a lie. I didn't go anywhere. He's just seen this man heal the man of leprosy, He's seen thousands upon countless thousands of works of God through this man. He knows this man is the double anointing of Elijah. And he thinks he can lie to him. He thinks the prophet can't see. He's bargaining now for his lies. And Elijah says, "Didn't my heart go with you? Wasn't my heart with you? Didn't I see when Naaman turned again from his chariot and he met you? Is this the time then to receive money and garments and vineyards and olive and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants, all these things for your joy? Is this the time to do that? Is this when we do this to the Syrians who are enemies? Is this what we do?" It says, "Therefore the sickness of Naaman." The sickness is not the leprosy. The sickness is that his God was a false God, but he came and found the true God. The sickness of Naaman is upon you. You do not serve the living God. You serve Naaman's God, which isn't a God at all. It's upon you. And it will be upon your seed forever. You'll never lose it. And Gehazi left it in Elisha's presence as a leper white as snow. Now, I want you to hear something. When we come into God's presence, don't we try to make deals? I've heard so many people make deals with God, especially on their deathbed when they're about to go into surgery or when they're sick. "God, if you'll heal this, I'll go to church every Sunday." You ever heard people say that? "Have you ever made a bargain with God? God, if you'll work this situation out, you'll get me home safe. I'll praise you forever. God, if you just take care of someone, so make this situation right, I'll pray more. I'll give more. I'll do more." Do you think God is interested in what you can offer him? Do you think that's what he wants from you, is what you can give him? Do you think that's his first concern with you? Let's give God more time. That's what he wants, time. Or maybe he wants more of our financial resources. He wants 10%. "God, I'll make it 20 as long as you let me live. 10% of everything I make, God, already yours, you can have 10 more. That's a deal, God. I can live with that. I know you can, God. I still got 80%. God says, "I laugh at you." He laughs at people who think 10% is enough. Because God wants it all. He wants every last drop you got. Every last bit of who you are. He wants you to have every single resource of yours in his hand. And here's Gehazi saying, "God, I can benefit from this. I can benefit from what you've done. I can benefit from your healing to this man. I'll go and take advantage of that right now. God is not to be mocked, ever. You cannot take advantage of God's kindness. God is kind to you because he wants to be. You can't coerce him. You can't force him to be. He is because that's his heart for you. You can't make him be less kind. You can't make him be more kind. You can only let him be who he is." If you listen to Gehazi's logic, pretty sad. He says, "This man got a blessing, and my master didn't receive anything from him for it." Why? If your heart is sent by God, touched by God to pour out a blessing, are you supposed to get something for it? Pray with someone and they feel a touch of God while you're praying. Should you say, "Okay, $10, please"? Is that what you're supposed to do? Well, what if you pray with someone and they get healed completely? Shouldn't that be a real good time to ask for a bunch of goods? That'd be real good. They're ready to give. "Thank you for healing me. Here's some money." Guess what? You didn't do it. God did it. But here it is, though. Someone else who's with you says, Boy, you know, they're not too smart. They could get all this goods for doing that. They could get, for doing what they did, all this earthly wealth. Let me tell you something. You and I can do nothing unless God speaks it into happening. If we ask Him, believing in His name, and we are His children, He will do it. He's glad to do it. We can't do it. We can speak in the name of Jesus healing. We can speak in the name of Jesus peace, but we cannot heal. We are unable to do that. Our lives are totally wrapped up in God. Now, if we say, well, you know, I saw so-and-so get a blessing, and that person might in turn then offer the person praying for them a gift. And I have to tell you, the gift does not go to the person who prays. It never goes to the ambassador. If someone tries to give me a gift for something, I say, take it to the church, put it in the plate. Bill was there for this. Bill had to pick up his car this last week at his shop, and the mechanic wasn't feeling very well, and we got to talking, and I said, Bill said, this is my preacher. And I said, that's right. And the man says, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And I said, really? What denomination is that? I'm a Pentecost. And I said, what's the church? So I used to go to Aberdeen Pentecost, whatever it was. And I said, oh, really? When was the last time you were there? Oh, about 10 years ago, I'd like to come. Remember what I said, Bill? I said, well, you need to be back in church. How about coming to ours? I think I said that. He said, I believe in God. You don't have to go to church to believe in God. And I said, you have to have a conjunction with God, the Holy Spirit. That only comes with other believers. If you have not been to church, you've been without the Holy Spirit for 10 years. I got a little nervous. He acted like, oh, this guy's just being silly. I wasn't being silly, was I, Bill? What did you think of that? You think he should have gotten into church? You think he should stay out of church? Well, I'll tell you something. That when that moment happened, what I know I should have said was this. You can't blind God. You try to lie to me, but if I'm walking in the Spirit, you can't lie to me either. But you can't lie to God. And you can lie to yourself if you want to feel good about being deceitful in the walk with God. But I'd say that this man is further away from God than he's ever been. You can see it all over. He's miserable. Gehazi said the same thing. God is for my benefit. If I choose and determine what God is to me and how God works and what God should bless me with and what I should give, what my past should give, what my friends should get from God, then I'm determining who God is. But if we come before God, I got it. give prayer time, Lord, if you just get me through this situation. Lord, if you just work this out, I'll thank you so much. Lord, you help me win the lottery, and I promise to give you $4. What he saw was the blessing of God on Naaman, and through Elisha, just countless numbers of people. Elisha was the greatest prophet. Elijah was most well known, but Elisha got the double anointing, double power. And so whenever Naaman got the healing, all this man had to do, Gehazi, was to say, I want what Naaman has, which was the gifts, rather than the healing of God. And when I want that, then I want the God of those gifts, which is no God. And that means he gets Naaman's sickness. Yeah, he saw Naaman want Naaman's goods. He said, I want Naaman's life. He has a high, mighty life, all these people's servants, he's in a chariot. I want that, or at least part of that. He got it all, right down to leprosy. Got Naaman all right. But kept the 2 pounds of silver and the chain of clothes and the other chain of clothes. What good is it without a God? My question. What good is all the world and not having God? I'm gonna lie to you. Story this morning, this evening, we have King of Syria, King of Israel, Elisha, Gehazi, and Naaman, plus the maid servant and Naaman's wife.